Good morning. I want to welcome you to the Boones Mill Church of the Brethren this morning as we come together to worship in the house of the Lord. It's warm outside. It's first of June. It's summertime. Guests and visitors, we want to say a warm welcome to you and glad that you're here. Hope you can come back and be with us at other times as well. And pray that our time together will be one in which we'll God can touch your heart and our lives as we worship together. Welcome. Today, the message is choosing which doors you'll walk through. We make choices about where we go and where we don't go, and that's going to be the theme of this message this morning. Last weekend, Vonda and I visited historic Colonial Williamsburg. And we roamed the 18th century streets and walked through many of their shops and places of interest. However, as we meandered through the town and through the buildings, we encountered many doors. Doors that had signs that read, "Enter here." Or they said, "Not an entrance." Or some of them read, "Private." And some doors said, "Exit." Others read, "Staff only, stay out." Some doors said, "Keep closed." So there were many doors that we encountered, and they each had a different purpose. And in the Bible, doors are metaphors for a lot of important things in your life. Sometimes God opens doors in your life. And sometimes God shut doors in your life. And that's what we're going to do. Today, we're going to be looking at how doors have a great spiritual significance. You know what? A door can be an entrance or it can be an exit, depending on which way you're going. It can be a bridge to something great or it can be a barrier of something that you are having trouble getting to. A door can say welcome, or a door can say you are not welcome. It can represent acceptance, or it can represent rejection. It can keep things separate and keep you apart from things. A door can protect you, and a door can provide access to something greater. There's so many implications to how doors are used in your life, but there are also many, many implications how they are used spiritually in your life. In the Bible, a door can represent an entrance door of salvation. God can throw that door open and say, "I want you to come in, brother, sister, man, woman, child, and receive a new life." It could be a passage door of discipleship. The door can open and say, "This is where you should go in order to have an enriched life, a meaningful life, a spiritual life." It could be a door of service, of ministry. There could be an outside door to your mission to say, when you leave this place, you are going into the world to share the love of God with other people. It could be an access door of prayer. It says, "I want you to open your closet door. I want you to come in. I want you to bow down, and I want you to pour out your heart to God." It could be a holy door of worship like this morning. I would pray that our doors to this church would always say, "We are wide open and we welcome you no matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done. That doesn't matter. You are welcome here to worship." And the door can be a door of fellowship. There are a lot of implications for the doors in your life. The Bible itself is called a door. The Bible says the Word is a door to know not only God, but it's like a mirror. When you look into that mirror, when you read God's Word, it reflects who you are. and what you are and where you are in life. The Bible is a door, or like a door. Our scripture reading this morning, Revelations chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, it said, Jesus is saying this, he says, I hold a key in my hand. Now, I know everything you've done. I know what your life's been like. I know where you've been. I know where you've been off track. You've been in the wrong place. And then he said, so look, that's not the point. What I'm doing right now, I am placing before you a new door, an open door, a place that you've never been before. And I'm opening that door. Now, this is called the door of opportunity. God is, he's heard the knock, that there's something that we need in our life, and he's opened the door, and he's opened that door for opportunity, because this is a place you need to go, and you need to do it today. Because once that door is shut, you don't always have the opportunity to go back to that again. He says, I'm giving you a door of opportunity. And he says, I know you're not perfect. I know you make mistakes and you trip and fall and you're like the rest of us. He says, I know you're not spiritually strong like I want you to be, but I'm going to give you an opportunity of your lifetime. I'm opening up a door of opportunity for you. And I believe God is doing that this morning for each one of us. This happened many, many times. It's happened many, many times in my life. Oh, did you notice I wasn't on? Now I am. This has happened many, many times in my life, where God has opened doors for me that I would have no way been able to open on my own. And I find myself amazed, because God opened a door for me and allowed me many opportunities that I could have never had in my life if it hadn't have been for God making that possible. God has been doing this for our church here at the Boones Mill Church. Over the past 2 years, God has opened doors for us. God has brought in new people. God has inspired new ways of doing ministry. God has providing for us through this awful year of pandemic. There have been many new doors of opportunity that have been opened to us. And they're not what we've done. There's not something special about us. It's what God has done. God has made this possible for us. And God wants us to understand about the implications of him opening doors for us in our lives. And so that's what I want to do this morning in this message. I'm going to give you 7 points of how I believe that God gives us opportunity and what we have to recognize in order to go through those doors. And so here's the first thing. The first thing we need to learn about that is that every door is a decision. In the Bible, doors are metaphors for choices that we make every day. Your choices, not just your circumstances. You know, a lot of times people say, well, this happened to me, or this came down on me, or whatever. And we think our circumstances is why we're in the place we're in our life. And that's not necessarily true. Our circumstances do have an impact on it, but it's our choices that have a greater impact. They determine your destiny more than anything else. It's what you have chosen to do. Now, every door you walk by, you have a choice. Am I going to walk through it? Or am I not? And you learn pretty early in life that there are some doors you shouldn't walk through. And yet we do. And we regret that. And it leaves us beat up sometimes. It leaves scars and it leaves problems with us. There are some doors you can't walk through, even no matter how hard you try. And there are some doors that aren't worth walking through. And yet we do. But every time you see a door, you've got a decision. And that's what the Bible is telling us. You encounter many doors, but God is opening a door today that will be the door of your lifetime. And it's a choice that you're going to have to make. We're going to have to decide, will I go through it or will I not? Okay, that's the first one. Every door is a decision. Here's number two. The second thing we learn about doors concerning God is that my destiny will be shaped by which doors I walk past and by which doors I go through. Your destiny, your life will be determined, as I said, by your choices. So the tough part is knowing which is the right door for me to go through. Because every time you walk through the door, whichever door you're passing through, it's going to come to you with a cost. Have you ever walked through a door that you thought was the right place that you should be going with your life, and only to find out that, oh, that wasn't good. That was a mistake. That was the wrong door. I shouldn't have walked through that. You know, I've been there. I've went through some of those doors. I regret that. And have you ever noticed that when you walk through the wrong door, that it is often not easy to get back to where you were, to get back to the path that you once was? It's not just like you could say, oops, well, I made a wrong decision. I'll just go back. I'll just step back here and I'll. It doesn't work that way. Some doors take you years to get back to that place you once were before God and where you once were in your life. If you want to make wise decisions, then you have to choose to go through the right doors and not the wrong ones. You have to have what the Bible calls discernment. And that's wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? Now, I'm not talking about education. I'm not talking about how smart you are. I'm talking about what the Bible calls wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. Wisdom comes from the Spirit of God. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 30:15, God says, today I am giving you a choice. You can choose life and success, or you can choose death and disaster. What is he saying there? What does that mean? He's saying that God has a door of opportunity, and the door that you decide to go through and the one that you might pass by or give up and not do could be disastrous for you. And here's the problem that we have when we're given a choice, when we're facing doors and trying to determine which one we're going to go through. Sometimes you can't see what's behind the door. In other words, God says, this is where I want you to go. You say, but I can't see where I'm going. Well, that's okay. You don't need to see where you're going. What you need to know is who is opening the door and who is calling you. So here's number three. Here's the third thing that you need to learn about doors concerning God. And that is, a door may be different things. First, it may be an opportunity from God, and that's what we're being told here this morning. Those are the good doors you want to go through. When God gives you an opportunity, when God is speaking to your heart, speaking to your life, and asking you to follow Him and to come this way, if you walk through that door, if you listen to that voice and go the right way at the right time and do the right thing, you will be blessed. It's going to be amazing in your life. That's what God promises us. And when God has a door and He opens it to you and it's the right door, it doesn't mean that you don't have any problems anymore. Brothers and sisters, do you hear me? Just because God opens a door of opportunity, you make the right choice, you go through the right door, don't think, well, all my problems are solved now. Everything is so easy now. It's not a problem-free situation. You're going to have to grow in character and understand where God wants you to be in that particular situation. You will never have an opportunity from God that is not opposed by evil. Did you hear that? You will never have a situation when you're doing what God wants you to do that you won't be opposed by evil. Evil is attacking God and His ways all the time. The right door doesn't mean no problems. It means God will be there with you to show you the way. Now, that's one way a door can mean as an opportunity from God. The second one is that that door that you're facing could be a distraction from others. Distractions keep you from doing what God wants you to do. You ever heard that? You try to get advice from people and ask what should you be doing or how you should be living your life or what you should be doing next, and you end up finding that they are leading you in a way that is not in your best interest. It's not for your benefit. In other words, God has a wonderful plan for your life, but so does everybody else if you'll talk to them. They'll tell you what they want you to do too, but the reason for that is more for their benefit than it is yours. And it's certainly more than the benefit for God. So you can be going to be offered all kinds of opportunities that sound good. They're going to tell you how to use your time, how to use your money, how to use your energy, and they're not good ways. They're not good for you. So when I see an open door, that doesn't mean it automatically, that's where God wants me to go. No matter how strong it sounds from another person, this is what you ought to be doing with your life. It doesn't mean that is what God is calling me to do with my life. You have to be able to discern it from God rather than from other people. And that's where it's hard to do a lot of times. So it may be an opportunity from God, but that door may be a distraction from others, or that door could be a trap from Satan. There are trap doors in this world, and many of us have fallen into them. You ever fallen into a trap door? Now, you're saying, Jerry, I'm not sure exactly what you mean. I have. I've been there. And it's not a pretty sight. And it's not a pretty thing to happen to you. Matthew 16:23 says that Jesus said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You're looking at things merely from a human viewpoint and not from God." Remember when Satan was talking to Jesus? And he said, you know, here, come on. If you will do this, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. If you will do this, I will give you power over all the nation. And as he was promising these things, he could give him those things. He could give him all the world because the world belonged to him. But what Jesus said, that's not where God wants me to be. That's not what I want. I don't want all the power and all the nations of the world. I want God. Because when I have God, I don't just have this little area that we might call earth or these possessions, but I have all eternity with God. And so Jesus said, get away from me. You're opening the door that would lead to my destruction. Anytime I look at my life from a human viewpoint and see how I might benefit or gain things from the world instead of what God would have for me, that's a trap. So you've got to know, is it an opportunity from God, or is it a distraction from others, or is it a trap from Satan? Here's the fourth thing you need to know about doors concerning God. And if an open door is truly from God, it will not contradict God's word. I encounter this all the time, especially if I'm counseling with someone. You know, they will say things about what they think God wants to do to bless them. For example, you could take this with a marriage. A lot of times in counseling, you find this guy and this gal, and they're having a lot of trouble in their marriage or whatever it might be. And this guy ends up They bring in this new person to where he's working, and she's attractive, and all of a sudden she's giving him a lot of attention, and she's listening to him and speaking kindly to him, and he's thinking, well, that's not what I get at home. All I get is nagging and all kinds of stuff going on. And all of a sudden, he comes in and he talks to the pastor, and he says, you know, I really think God wants me to be with this other person and to get out of this relationship. And all of a sudden, what you find is that, well, what does God's word say about that? Does God contradict his word and says that that's wrong in the first place? But now, since you found something that seems to be more comforting, that God has changed his word and said it's okay to do that now? No, never. God's word doesn't change. And you can easily find that we find sometimes we change what we do, but it contradicts what God says that we should do. In Matthew 24:35, Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. If it was true 1,000 years ago, it's true now, and it will be true 1,000 years from now. God's word doesn't change. And so we need to understand that the door that we need to walk through, if it's truly open from God, it won't contradict his word. Here's number five. The fifth thing that I've learned about doors concerning God is that sometimes God shuts a door for my protection. Has there ever been something that you are thinking that you really want to do, or something has happened to you and you think that you're being punished? For example, it's a bad thing when you lose a job or something like that. God may shut that door, but sometimes it might be for your protection. In Genesis 7:16, it says these five words, then God shut the door. You know what being talked about there in Genesis is Noah and the ark. Once you're on the ark, Noah had done everything that God had asked him to, and then it says that God shut the door. And when God shuts the door, nothing is going to be able to open it unless God gives permission and allows that to happen. And when God opens the door for you, nobody can shut it. When God is leading you and you're following him, there's nothing going to get you off that path if you follow him. Why did God shut the door for Noah in that particular situation? It was to protect him from the rain and from the storm and from the water and the waves. And sometimes that happens in our lives too. We don't feel like that. It doesn't feel good, but when God shuts a door, sometimes it's for our protection. We think it's terrible, but we'll find out in the end there's a rainbow waiting at the end of that, and there's new life and new opportunities and new possibilities. God knows how to shut doors to protect you, and God knows how to open doors to bless you. And here's number six, and it's a really important lesson for us to learn about doors concerning God. God will open doors for me if I open doors for others. This is the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. God wants you to learn to be a giver. He wants you to learn to be generous. And the Bible says in Proverbs 11:25, it says, anyone who generously blesses others will be generously blessed. And when you refresh others, you will be refreshed yourself. We're told in the Bible to be generous all the time with all people. Generous with our money, generous with our time, generous with our words and praises of others, generous with our possessions. We are to be givers. This is called hospitality. And it's one of the key values of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you know, I came to serve. And those who love me, they're going to do what I did. And he's wanting us to serve as well. Christians are to be known for their hospitality. Why? Because God is a generous God. God is a giver. God so loved the world that he gave, and he gave. That's the reason we're able to be here today. The air that you're breathing right now, it's not because you somehow are causing your lungs to expand and extract and bring air in. You may not know this, but God is breathing the breath of life in you. And you are alive because God has given you life. There will be a time that God will say that will end, but right now, the gift of God is life. Everything we have has been a gift from God. Everything you have, you didn't deserve. It's a gift of God's generosity. God says, if you open doors for other people, God will open doors for you, because God is looking for people to bless. And he's looking for people who will bless others. Now, here at Booz Mill Church, I, as a pastor, I want to open doors for you. I want to help you know God in a more intimate way. I want to teach you the Word of God and how loving God is and what God wants for you. I want to teach you how to see yourself differently, perhaps. How to see life differently. How to see God. Because if you've had a rough past and a difficult past, I want you to see how God loves you and how God can restore you and how God can give you new life. I want you to see your life not only from your past, but where it can be now. What can be different about it? How God can be with you and give you a new, not only a new now, but a new future. I want to open doors for you. And God wants us to open doors for other people. You say, I don't know how to do that. Well, that's what we're talking about today. You can't get through the second door until you go through the first door. And the first door is that God has opened a door of opportunity that will be the door of a lifetime. And that's the first door we need to go through. The more you are generous, the more God will open doors for you. Okay, here's number seven and the last part of this particular way of learning about doors concerning God. Number seven, sometimes God cracks open a door, not that he's going to let you go in, but he's going to give you a glimpse to inspire you to grow. It's sort of like, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, where you've had this enormous feeling about God's presence with you, or about what heaven would be like to be in God's presence, in his love and his unconditional grace and forgiveness, to where everything is perfect. Everything is good. God has a destiny for your life. And sometimes God cracks that door and he says, this is what your life could be. This is how your life could be even now. And when you see that, you realize that there's something greater that God wants for your life than what you've been able to experience so far. And there is nothing that can destroy what God wants for you. Nothing, not even the devil. Other people can't. The person who can destroy what your life would be, the way God wants it to be, the only person that can destroy that is you, by your choices. God's not going to force his will upon you. Like that story I was taking Armin about, there's no doorknob. God's not going to force his way into your life. You can choose to ruin your life, though. You can choose to waste your life. You can choose the right doors to go through, or you can choose the wrong ones that would destroy you. You're the only one that can mess that up. And God says, don't do that. And if you have messed up, and if you're not where God wants you to be, he says, why don't you come back to me? Why don't you come back right now? Why don't you come back to this door that I'm opening as an opportunity? Why don't you get started all over again? Because here's the door to way to do that. And so God cracks open the door and he gives you a little vision of it because he wants you to grow. And you need to know where you're going. And in God's timetable, he will make it so. He will bring it to pass. The way God intends to fulfill our life is often the opposite way that we think we should do it. In other words, brothers and sisters, you want to be happy? You want to have a fulfilled life? You want to have the meaning that you search and yearn for in your life? You might think that you know how to do that. You might think you're on the track to do that. And the way God intends to fill your life might be the opposite, exact opposite way of that than what you think it should be. God's timing is perfect. Sometimes we think we're just waiting and waiting and nothing is going to happen. And that is not true. God is getting things lined up the way he wants it to. Because you do know this, don't you? You know that God can do more in 5 minutes in his timing than we can do in 50 years of trying to do it ourselves. And that's what I'm saying. And sometimes it seems like we've been waiting a long time to have what God has promised us. But in 5 minutes, God could do with what we've been trying to do for 50 years. And that 5 minutes could be today. He could flip things around in such an awesome and amazing way that your life will never be the same. Because that's how God does it. Now, I know I'm way out of time. You guys know that I do this sometimes, but I'm going to try just very quickly to give you 3 points about which doors, how to discern what you should do in order to make the right choices in passing through the doors that God would have you do. First of all, you need to learn discernment. To know which door to go through and which not. My prayer is going to be just like Philippians 1:9-10 that Paul prayed for those who were following him. He said that your love will keep growing and more and more. God wants you to grow more and more in love because God is love. And notice what the rest of that verse, it says, with knowledge and great discernment, that's how I want you to grow in your love. Why? So that you will be able to make the right choices. So discernment is the most important thing that we need to understand in making the right choices. It needs to be in love. It needs to be with knowledge and discernment. Here's the second thing that God says to learn in order to open the right door. Learn courage to walk through the right door. You may know the right thing to do, but you don't have the faith to actually take that step. It just might be like God saying, you know what? There's something not right in your life, and you need to make a choice today to make that happen. Yeah, but what are people going to think? What if people, I don't want them to think that maybe things not everything okay in my life. And so you got to have courage. Courage doesn't mean that you don't have fear. Courage means that you are able to, in the midst of fear, to do what needs to be done. Okay, here's number 3. The third thing that we need to learn from God to open the doors. We need to learn to open doors for other people. You need to start being nice to people, kind to people, hospitable to people, giving them acts of love. And watch what God will do, as it says in 1 Peter 4:9. It says, show hospitality without grumbling about it. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received from God to serve others. So I want to open a door for you. I want God to open doors for you. This is not something that you learn by listening to me up here speaking this morning. You learn it by doing it, being hospitable, being loving. Pray with me. Lord, I know you have opened so many doors for me in my life's journey, and I thank you for that. And I've not always followed you as I should. Thank you for forgiving me and for leading me back to you. Lord, I want you to open new doors for our church here at the Boones Mill Church of the Brethren. I want to see you open doors in amazing ways in the lives of our people and our family and our brothers and sisters in this family of God. And Lord, I just pray right now that if there's someone here this morning that needs to hear your voice and follow you, that you will be tapping on the door of their heart and letting them know that they need to open that door to you this morning. Teach us how to open doors for others. Teach us discernment. Most of all, teach us courage to do the right thing, even when we're scared to death to do it. Help us to put into practice all that you teach us from your word. Lord, you want to open a door for someone this morning. May they take your hand and let you lead them into salvation. May they take your hand and let you lead them into a new start in their spiritual life. May they take your hand and let you lead them into joining this church. Thank you, Lord, for opening the doors for us today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.